Hello, this is Rudolph Robinson, and welcome to the Your Security Business Podcast, the place for security guard business owners looking for ways to run their security businesses with higher productivity, increased profits, and less stress. In today's episodes, we're diving into three transformative strategies to attract and retain the best security personnel. Let's talk a little bit about bad employees. That one that you would love to terminate, but you keep because they're either hard to replace, or maybe it's a situation where they know how to play the game, so they just do just enough to push you and everyone that works with them off, but not enough to get terminated. That one. That's the one that I'm talking about. Them and everyone like them. Bad employees are the most common reason why organizations lose top performing employees. Let's think about that for a second, right? Okay. Bad employees are the main reason why we lose good ones. It's odd, but it is absolutely true. And it is a very important thing that we all need to understand when we're running businesses. Whenever we tolerate poor performers, it causes it to be more difficult for everyone else. And as a result of making everyone else's job difficult without making changes, it causes the people whose jobs have been difficult to go work somewhere else where it's not so darn difficult. Real simple. How do we handle this? We have to make sure that we adopt a hire slow, fire quick mentality when it comes to hiring. It should take a long time for someone to qualify to join your team, but it should be a very swift process of identifying or determining whether or not they're the right fit of your organization and getting them out the door so that they don't create other issues with the existing personnel that are doing a good job or create bad habits that other people will then adopt and you have to fix organization-wide. I'm sure that you've seen this happen before where you're working so hard and no one else is. And people come to you and say, stop working so hard. You're making it more difficult for the rest of us. You're making us all look bad. Don't do more because then they'll wonder why we're not doing much. You need to slow down. And when those kind of things have happened, I know with myself in the past, when I worked for other folks and was in that situation, it caused me to feel bad almost for doing my job. The culture within that organization became such where it was like, okay, those that wanted to do their job the most were frowned upon. And those that didn't do their job, they had all the friends from work. They had all the accolades. And of course, the management was oblivious to it all. Versus other organizations that I've seen and worked in as an employee previously, were in which everyone there was all about being the best they could be. And if you were a person that weren't, you didn't last very long. Because the culture drove that. And because you knew that if you didn't do your job, you would lose your job. And that could happen very quickly. You have to have a system in place so that you can hire slow and fire quick. Let's talk a little bit about the right kind of disciplinary process to have, or the best way to structure your disciplinary process. The first thing is got to be a clear, transparent process where in which everyone has a understanding of the consequences for poor performance. Every employee should be clearly aware of exactly what's going to happen to them if they break one of the company's rules. What are those consequences going to be? They need to know that, and they need to understand what they are and what's going to happen. So that way they are less likely to do things that they shouldn't do because now they have an understanding of what's going to happen to them if they do it. It also needs to be very transparent, meaning it should be transparent whenever they break a rule and it is documented. It needs to be transparent. That's happened. Sometimes we have employers that will write a notice about what happened, but not talk to the employee about what happened because if we don't want the employee to leave or for them to quit or what have you. And then finally, when we do bring something up, we bring up all this documentation that they've never seen. As a result, they naturally feel like, well, I didn't even know about this. I'm being treated unfairly. ultimately, when you do fire them, oftentimes you can't even beat the unemployment claim because you didn't have a transparent communication as far as to what they had done up to that point. That reinforces the fact that we got to just make sure that it is transparent as far as where they are in your disciplinary process, what they've been written up for up to this point, and that it's already been viewed by them. Termination should not be a surprise. No one should ever be surprised that they're getting fired. It should be expected. After doing a certain number of things, they should have a good idea of the fact that, ooh, if I keep doing this, I'm going to get fired. Or better yet, if I do this again, I'm going to get fired. Or I could get fired. The best way to convey that is through having a point-based system. A point-based system is one that attaches a certain point value to different infractions or of certain rules. And then it should set up a process where in which after a certain number of infractions, you have a probation period. And then after the probation period, once you get to another certain threshold, you are terminated. By having that type of system, it allows for your employees to see where they are point-wise, understand what they did, understand that's an issue, and be given a genuine opportunity to improve. It also lets them know that they're not going to just be fired automatically because they were late one time. That being said, there should also be things within that point system that are things that you get fired for automatically. I know we have our system, one of the ways that we do things is if you fall asleep on the job, you're fired. There's no warning for that. It's automatic 15 points because within our organization, we use a 15-point system. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter what points you assign for what, as long as it's fair by your estimation, it's clear and transparent. Long as that happens, you can assess the points however you like, but do consider fairness. For example, usually you're not going to fire someone for being 10 minutes late one day, but you very well may fire someone for being insubordinate or fire someone automatically for falling asleep on the job, things of that nature. Now, after we have this situation where we're not tolerating poor performance, we've got a clear and transparent point-based system for disciplining folks. Now we have to deal with creating that culture. Ultimately, we have to create a compelling corporate culture. And that culture needs to appeal to the guards as much, if not more, than it appeals to you as owners of businesses, especially with security guard companies. All too often, business organizations, and especially business organizations within the security industry, create cultures that appeal to the owners and maybe even possibly the clients, but does not appeal to the employees that they're hiring. That is something that we need to avoid. At the end of the day, people are human beings. Employees are human beings. Human beings gravitate more towards things that appeal to them. When you're creating something and your goal is to keep somebody around, you want to make sure that the things that you create appeal to them. And we apply this to everything else in life. We apply it to our relationships with our loved ones. We apply it to everything when we're cooking for people or ourselves. We're creating things for our customers. We want to make sure that our services appeal to the customers, but we don't set it up where it appeals, our culture appeals to the employees who are within it. And that is a very important part of developing the kind of system that will retain and attract people. And it starts with your hiring process. The hiring process should be streamlined and efficient. Every step of the way, it should clearly convey what's expected, what's going to happen, and then respond quickly. By doing that, that sets the tone that you have a corporate culture that gets things done in a clear, specific, organized way. That appeals to security guards. Everyone has heard of security guard owners or security business owners that are not the most organized. employees will apply and they don't know if they're hired or not, and they're wondering where their paperwork is, and they're calling you to find out the status of their application because you don't really have a system in place to systematically notify people when they're hired or unhired. You have all these manually processes, et cetera. Having a clear, streamlined, efficient hiring and onboarding process sets the tone up front that your culture is one that gets things done. Employees like that because it lets them know that you're going to get things done in relationship to them. You're much less, they can see that and tell that you're much less likely to have some kind of payroll problem because someone made a mistake or their schedule be wrong or one other thing happened, because from jump, you've set the tone that says, we have a corporate culture that believes that we're going to get things done in decency and in order in a streamlined, efficient way. And that applies to how you deal with your customers. It applies to how you provide your services. And it applies to how you deal with your personnel. After we set this process, we also have to remember that we have to show respect. That's right. The R word, respect. It's important to understand the point of view of the people you employ. Let's just think about what happens to a security guard in the course of their existence. In most cases, you're not talking about people that were raised wealthy. It's pretty much a working class type of job. It's not necessarily something that people go to Harvard to know how to do. In fact, many people go into the security industry because it's one of the few careers that you can have wherein which you can make a decent wage to feed yourself and your family without having a degree. But let's look at how people treat them. They're told that they are a rent-a-cop or a cop wannabe. Clients will come to them and try to boss them around and act like they work for the client when they really work for the security company. And let's not even mention the thousands of videos on YouTube where they show guards who are sleeping on the job or doing something stupid. You can go to YouTube right now and Google and search for sleeping security guards. YouTube, Google, whatever browser you pick, and you type in sleeping security guards. You will see plenty of videos about security guards sleeping on the job and pictures of them sleeping, reviews, forms about it, everything. Okay. All these things contribute to this view that they're less than. And then there's Friday, top flight security of the world, Craig. All these things reinforce that stereotype, that view that security officers aren't important. And when they're not important, people don't respect them. And since the world tends not to respect them, the least we can do as the people that hire them is to show them respect. And you will find that right there, showing them respect will do so much for retaining people, because people tend to stay at places that they feel respected, even if it may not be as good in some other areas. People will actually stay with companies that pay less if they're treated better. It happens. There are low-paying companies right now all over the world that attract and retain staff pretty well, just by making sure that they treat them with respect and create a positive environment for their folks. We're talking about things like talking to them in a way that's respectful and decent. Don't yell at your officers. Don't call them outside their name. When you are approaching them about a reprimand or something that you want them to do, something that you suspect they did, or even if you know they did something, start off with asking them about it to find out what they were thinking versus starting off automatically accusing them of doing something. Why didn't you do this? That can be seen as disrespectful. Whether you like it or not, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them an opportunity to explain themselves. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Tell me about what happened with this. Oh, okay, you did that. Okay, well, tell me what you were thinking when that happened. And the reason why we want to ask these type of things is to respect their opinion, their point of view, even if you don't agree with it. We all know that officers say stupid things. We know that. But even if they're going to say stupid things, we have to respect their right to say them as human beings that have an opinion. We do not always have to agree with what they say, but we need to respect them enough to hear them out. And by doing that, it creates a culture wherein which it is a culture of respect. And that respect is oftentimes reciprocated by employees because they feel like they're getting it. Recognitions and awards, another way to create a culture that appears to the officers. I'm not talking about your good old boring old employee of the month. That's all great and dandy, but there's been a lot of research shown that employee of the month programs aren't quite as effective. What we find is it's not that the employee of the month programs aren't as effective, it's how they do them. If you just say someone's employee of the month and you just put their picture up, yay. But if you say that someone's employee of the month and you send out broadcast emails to folks, all the employees letting them know, you put pictures of them on your Facebook page talking about how great they are. You make sure that in the meeting that you have the morning after they get recognized, that you tell them that in front of everybody how fabulous that person did. And if you give them some kind of reward that other people can see and appreciate and wish they had, those things are the type of things that helps an employee of the month program work. In addition to things like employee of the month, other ways are things like having a system wherein which there is an opportunity for employees to provide feedback, either anonymously or not, but to recognize the employees when you choose to implement one of their recommendations. So if an employee makes a recommendation for you to change a certain policy or brings up a concern, and then you fix that policy or change the policy as a result of it to something better, recognize that person for what they did. Recognize them. Go in there and once again, send out messages. Thanks to Officer Schmuckatelli. He did a great job recommending this thing. As a result of what he recommended, we changed the processes and now we're able to help people better. This works out better for the employees. They can get more done for less now. That is great for them. We're so happy that he kept recommending things. Please keep it up. Those types of things are the type of things that contribute more to that culture because you're recognizing people and it's more than just one person a month. Because I may not be at the stage where, as an employee, I'm at the level where I'm performing well enough to be employee of the month, but I am good enough to come up with a good idea every once in a while. And that person needs to be recognized. They may not think that they are a rock star capable of being recognized for just having being better than everyone else, but they sure can come up with an idea that can help. So communicate that, recognize that, acknowledge when people, and if it's an anonymous recommendation that comes in, same thing. We like to thank whoever the anonymous employee was that recommended this thing or brought this to our attention. We want to thank you. Because as a result of that recommendation, here's what we did in our new program or whatever it is you're going to do. And oh, we're so happy about that. Now, it's important to admit that in many cases, when people say that we have open communication, it's crap. It's not true because companies say that, but they really don't mean it. That's why it's so important to do the things that validate that, like I previously mentioned. Recognizing people who actually make recommendations, and even if it's an anonymous recommendation, that you recognize the folks, even the anonymous people, for anything that they contributed that resulted in a change. Do it enough times and people will realize that it's not bull. It is a fact that describes the amazing culture that you have within your business that is designed to establish open communication with the field so that you can really know what's going on and have impact, have the kind of feedback that you need to run a successful business organization. So you're communicating, you are hiring slow, firing fast, creating compelling corporate culture, you're connecting people with training that helps them develop themselves as people to accomplish the things that they want above and beyond your business. Now what? Just like you show them opportunities to advance in the things that they want, you still have to give them a clear process wherein which you can help them accomplish the things that you want them to accomplish. And that is promotions. Smart, well-run security companies have a clear and transparent promotion process. Now, how you do it is up to you, but there are certain elements that should be included in any promotion process. The first thing is it must be 100% transparent. Everyone in the company should always know when a promotion is available. Everyone in your company should always have an opportunity to compete for those roles. And whenever someone within your company interviews for an internal position and they don't get hired for that position, they should have a meeting with management, and management should discuss with them why was the other person promoted and what they need to do or what skills they need to develop to better compete next time. When you get to the point where you have 1,000, 2,000 officers, I could see how that may be difficult to do. But even at that size and scale, I still recommend having someone in HR do this because it matters so much in order to identify and empower the people that want to move up in the company. I can guarantee you that the things that they make up to explain their lack of promotion will be far worse than the reality. If you don't tell people what they need to do to get better, how can you expect for them to get better? And if you don't tell people what they need to do better or what other people are doing that's accomplishing more than them, then they're going to just assume that it's something else. They're going to say, I guess he kissed the left butt cheek and the right butt cheek, huh? Oh, well, he's dating the owner's daughter, I heard, through the grapevine. Oh, well, he's working that one site that client's so important. He just got promoted because he's at that client. Or, I work XYZ site and they don't want to promote me because I know they don't have anyone else to cover it. So they're just going to keep me stuck here forever. Whatever the reason. Or they just don't like me. They don't like me because I'm black. They don't like me because I'm short. They don't like me because I'm overweight. They don't like me because I'm chunky. They don't like me because I stutter. They don't like me because, I don't know, we went to different high school. We like different football teams. And whatever excuse you want, they'll come up with it. But if you tell them the truth, then they know. So they have to go through the effort of making up a lie, which sometimes will happen. You will have times where you will meet with the employee and you will tell them everything they need. You tell them why the other person got promoted. You tell them what they need to do to get better. You'll even tell them the good things that you like about them. But they will leave that meeting and the next day go to work and complain to everybody that they got skipped by a promotion and not understand why that happened. That's going to happen. It's okay. It's just life in human beings. But the good news is if everyone in your organization knows that everything is so transparent and they see it, it takes the power away from that complaint because everyone else says, well, yeah, I interviewed for that too. And they met with me and told me what I needed to do. By doing that, that goes even farther to foster that corporate culture that we've been talking about. That idea that you have a culture that appeals to the people who work for you or with you just as much as it appeals to you. And these are all simple things that can go a long way towards getting you where you want to be, which is having an effective, efficient security organization that is highly profitable, highly productive, and less stressful. So let's just wrap this up. The keys to hiring and retaining security officers are hire slow, fire quick, create a compelling corporate culture. Provide them with training that matters to them as much as it matters to you, and create a clear and transparent promotion system. After all this, some of you may say, I can see how that retains people. How does that attract them? Well, here's the thing. People talk about good things. Things that are going well, they talk about, they brag about. People talk about bad things too. What happens is other security officers, their friends and family or whoever are saying about how much wherever they work sucks. And then your employee, your officer is saying, wow, you know what? We're so great. We don't have that problem. And what that does is it puts word out there in the streets that you're the company that people should want to work for because of all these people that are saying such great things about you and your organization. Every single employee should be an ambassador for your company. And you turn them into that ambassador by what? Making sure that you hire slow and fire quick so that people that are poor performers do not stick around. Create a compelling corporate culture that states that we're going to do our jobs, we're going to lose our jobs, and we're for you. Provide them with training that matters to them as much as it matters to you. And clear, transparent promotion process. Do these things and you will win. Consistently. Okay, folks, Well, thank you for tuning in to the Your Security Business Podcast. This is your host, Rita Robinson. Stay tuned for the next episode.